I know.
I was saying you should just stay there.
The whole time?
Seriously, do
it. Working.
Oh, I got a lot of work to do.
Do I take your chair? What happens here?
I'm out of here.
You're out of here?
All right.
Hate to do it to you.
It's been a pleasure meeting you, man. Thank you for playing me the album.
No, anytime. I'm glad I was able to give you a couple copies for the road as well.
Here we are in sort of state of the art. This is kind of, I suppose, the official home of Over Your Sound. This is the heart now of Over Your Sound here in Toronto, out in a warehouse space in Toronto. It's 40s spot where the music gets made.
40s, what do they call it? Like a brainchild?
Yeah,
is that what they say? This 40s creation from the ground up. I mean, I was here when there were no walls. I was here when there was not even a hint of a studio or any, he saw it through to the end. I mean, incredible execution on a vision that he had from very, very early on. I know he's always enjoyed living in the same space that he works in. Mm. So he's been able to build this complex that we utilize to get the job done.
When you walked in here for the first time, because I always think like rooms, you can catch a vibe pretty quick.
Yeah.
And you know, 40 obviously built this, you were there for the process, but when he called you in for the first session, did you catch a vibe? Did you record something that first night?
I was here a few times as, I was here like when this room first started functioning and everything else wasn't built. I think maybe one of the first things we did here that got released was probably Back to Back, ironically enough, but I think that was kind of
that's how you broke the bottle on the bow.
That was like one of the first things that we actually recorded and it
tangible energy from the get-go.
I mean, just
get it done.
Execution, man, just following suit. I watched 40 execute, so I had to come in here and execute too. That's it.
How many visitors really, I mean, I know there's a lot of people in here tonight for obvious reasons because, we're trying to capture something, but, when it's business time, how many visitors generally roll through here? Because the vibe I get is you guys keep it pretty light.
Yeah, I'm not really into like a whole bunch of people and distraction. I have respect for everybody in their craft and whatever they do. So I expect the same thing when people come in here. I don't want a bunch of hustle and bustle, talking and loud, And the other thing that's tough when you invite people in the studio is they're obviously coming to watch something happen, right? And it doesn't always happen every night. It's not like every night is some magic moment. I mean, there's nights of frustration, there's nights of nothingness, there's nights of just, these little tactical things that clinical, surgical edits and stuff that it gets, it's
housekeeping.
Right. So I pretty much gauge the characters that are allowed to sit in here based off like how they conduct themselves on those type of nights. And I think I have a pretty immediate team that is able to sit in here, and I don't want to notice you. And that's not to be offensive. I just don't want to know that you're here. I want to be able to get up and just go in there and spill,
without people's feelings or intentions or any of that stuff. That makes perfect sense, you know? Today, unless you change your mind, the album's done.
It's done,
40 sent it while the game was on.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, we're literally watching the Raptors while 40 was, I think the line was from Noel was, right now we've been finished for 7 seconds.
Yeah.
This was, I came in and he was like, nah, I sent the email 7 minutes ago. We've been finished for 7 minutes. And he went to his computer. He's like, I never sent it.
The game clock was kind of measuring the album clock too,
The world clock has been measuring the album.
Yeah, I know.
And to a certain extent, that's your fault. Because back on August the 6th, in 2014, you announced the name of the record.
Yeah.
Now I have, I spoke to your friend Skepta about announcing records prematurely, and he was pretty straight about it. He wished he hadn't done it. He felt the pressure of announcing Konnichiwa way up front added additional pressure to him. I mean, you did it almost 2 years before you delivered the record. How did it work for you making that announcement in 2014?
I think the announcement was more than just the album title. It was just a shift in the city, you know, that we saw an opening there. You know, it was I think the name took on a life of its own. And you know, now the city is obviously referred to as what it is, and yeah, I mean, me and Oliver always are very cautious about that. We never want to prematurely announce anything, but I kind of feel like it's crazy that you say 2 years. It really doesn't feel like 2 years. I mean, I just had this plan to finish this album, and then, but I remember I was like, oh man, well, you know, I'm gonna do a mixtape just because I'm just like at this place where I'm in this hotel every night, and I just want to make rap music, and I always wanted to make a project with Boy Wonder, just like exclusively like his brand of music, like just hard shit, like try and just snap as much as I could and get as many joints as I could in a short amount of time. And so that's kind of, you know, I was really adamant about finishing that mixtape first, and then I said, okay, then I'll move on, because when we do these albums, I mean, and especially if it's me and 40, it's never not been me and 40, but when me and 40 lock in, we really lock in, and we take it very serious, and it's not some like rush job, you know. We'll sit there and we, so, like I said, some nights we don't even come here and make music. Some nights we just talk.
Yeah.
We talk and we listen, and you know, we try and figure out what the direction is and what works for me.
And it seems to me that might be a distinction between, because you blur the lines so successfully and helped in the evolution of mixtapes. They've been around in existence for a long time, and yet when you started to do it and some of your peers started to do it at a similar time, these mixtapes were becoming blockbusters in their own right. Mm-hmm. They weren't just moving the streets anymore. They were actually moving the sales and the charts, and you were touring off the back of these things.
Well, that was it. I mean, I went on a full-blown tour off, If You're Reading This, It's Too Late.
It's crazy.
You know, and it went straight to iTunes, and I feel like that's 100% a possibility. The same thing we do with a lot of the OVO sound artists, you know. It's like, why not? You put all this time in there, all original songs, why shouldn't it be able to be, you know? I understand the joy of getting a free body of work from somebody, but you know, this is like one of the only platforms we have left to like generate interest and income and all these, you know, these like just get the attention and make it that easy to access,
and
as opposed to going to 10 different places to try and find it once links are being, you know. So
it's, I mean, focusing your audience, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and that's really what it's about right now. Is and that's, I mean, not to like shamelessly plug, but even what, you know, what we've been doing with Apple Music and stuff like that, it's like, you know, just focusing the audience and giving them a place to go and hone in on, you know, this one hub to go get everything. But with that being said, you know, I finished that tape and I was really happy with it. A lot of the songs got bigger than expected, and we had to go do some shows.
I wonder if I mean, I know you dropped it in the early hours in the morning, and it was just like, wake up, surprise, here's a Drake record and everything else.
Yeah.
But I know how I feel about that album, and millions of other people do as well, and that record has become, in many respects, a modern-day classic, and I wondered if that caught you off guard.
Yeah, I definitely always just treated it like a mixtape. I was never, you know, even like the difference between this album and that is like the time we spent on the transitions, the layering of the production, the changes, the just sonically, even the time that 40 and Gadget put in. You know, this was just a tape that we did in my hotel room at the end of the day. So, I mean, it's great that people love it. Crazy. I mean, I always just looked at it as a bridge to get to where we're at today. And then from that, I mean, I ended up going to Atlanta and sitting with Future for 6 days, and he's just a machine, man.
He's
a machine. It's crazy. I've never seen anybody with that much of a catalog. Like, I mean, songs that I still think about to this day that I heard in that studio that I'm like, when is that coming out?
Oh, I've seen him. I've seen people loading projects. I've loaded projects while he's been... And he's like, how long is this going to take? You're like, 15 minutes. He's like, load up that other thing so I can jump on that thing for 15 minutes and finish that verse.
100%.
Like, I mean, every minute counts. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's just that natural. You know, when you're in that, when you catch that stride and it's natural and you're not overthinking it, you're just doing what you want to hear, what you feel, you know, that's what people are connecting to with him. I mean, he's just doing what he feels right away. And it's incredible. Not too many people can do that. I can't do that. I mean, my approach is way more calculated.
Yeah, that must have been a nice 6 days. It must have almost felt like a busman's holiday. By that I mean like a chance to just not be Drake for a second.
It was nice.
You know, and just, I'm gonna go for 6 days and whatever happens, happens. And
I went there with the hopes of doing like two songs, you know, but you get in a studio with, you know, you got Future, who's, like I said, ready to work at any given time and has 4 or 5 songs on the go. And then you've got guys like Metro and Esco who are being like, oh, well, what about this song? And what about this? And, oh, play him this. And the energy of just Atlanta and how these guys have the whole city, you know, on fire. It happened, you know, it just happened. We had a tape at the end of the week, and Jumpman was the last song, ironically enough.
How did that one happen? Because that one has, I mean, there's a lot of anthems that have come through off that record as well. You can't go into a championship environment and not hit big rings. You know, but Jumpman in particular, I mean, obviously the Taylor Treadmill ad, again, not to shamelessly plug, but it's hilarious. I mean,
legendary.
Legendary, right? So that song is because...
I love Taylor too, man. Yeah,
she's so smart.
She's just a super talented. She's just like such a sweetheart, man.
Yeah.
For doing that, but also just like in general, she's so angelic to me, man.
I'm still trying to find the cut. when it goes from her to stunt person, right?
Right, yeah, I know. It was seamless. Yeah.
Tell us about the making of that song. Or in fact, let's just broaden it. Give us your fondest memory of making that of those 6 days of doing a session with Future. What was the song that was the most energy and the most fun to get out?
I mean, our song the whole trip was Digital Dash, you know, the first song. He had just bodied it so much that I was trying to find my way on it, you know, trying to find how I even had a presence on it, because he was just killing it for like 2.5 minutes.
And traditionally you only get if you're locked in for a 16 or a 32 bar spot on someone else's record, you might get that competitive spirit.
Yeah, 100%.
When you're on your own all the time, not easy to, you're fighting yourself.
Yeah, it was more the fact that it was presented to me as a finished piece, so I was like, oh man, I gotta try and be a part of this moment and do it justice. But we had done a dinner one night while I was out there, and it was just us, just immediate group, and we just kept playing Digital Dash, you know. We were just, it was kind of the birth of like, should this be like a whole thing, or are we just doing like one or two songs? And it was just kind of like the realization of, I think we're gonna make a whole project together.
Oh, and I think we're gonna tour it for the summer, and I think now it's a thing.
Yeah.
You know, you've never done these songs live before.
No.
In fact, man, you have Views to play, you have this album to play, you have elements of If You're Reading This.
Yeah.
I mean,
this. And then I got other songs coming out this summer too, like just stuff that I got in the stash.
Stop showing off, man. We're
gonna
get to.
By the time we get to tour, I'm gonna have an arsenal of songs that don't have anything to do with Views that'll be, you know, ready to be performed.
We're gonna get to all of that, but just focusing on the tour itself, it's just been announced, you know, Summer 16 tour, also featuring Roy Woods and Division, their special guests. So I know you just finished the record, but. I mean, you must be in a hurry to get into rehearsal stage because it's not that far away.
Yeah, I've been brainstorming for about 2-3 months now, just on tour production. This album is probably my highest level of vocal performance, I'd say.
Mm. In what sense?
I was listening to like Stevie Wonder, All I Do, and Alabama Shakes, Give Me All Your Love, and just these songs that really connected with me. It went from, you know, I'd come off those two mixtapes, and it was about being in the club. It was about having the hottest joints. And this was more like, what is a cohesive, incredible listening experience from me? What can I do for this generation to just create distance between myself and anyone else and do something that, you know, maybe no one else can really achieve or accomplish. And I think I used my writing and my voice in ways that I, you know, in the same thing I was talking about. Sometimes you could look in someone's eyes and they've just clicked out. You know, I think I clicked out in a sense of just, I'm really proud of the songwriting on here.
And you stretched yourself.
I don't know if it's stress. I think it's just...
Stretch.
Oh, stretch. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was just more... you know, there's a way to do this with, you know, still like the, you know, a catchy element, still this like massive amount of integrity, still this, you know, something that makes me feel like I said this the other day, I don't know if there's a song on this album that I can say like, oh, well, I did that for that reason. No, right. It's all just like, I did it because I would want to listen to something like that. Right. And I'm really proud of that.
You know, not to try and betray any trust, because me and 40 obviously had a little bit of time to bond and hang out and get to know each other while you guys were down courtside at the Raptors game.
But right.
He was saying that, you know, unless you could both look at each other at the end of that session and say, you know, this is our favorite joint, our favorite song on this record, then it's not even in contention.
Well, every song has had a run of being, you know, our favorite, where, you know, 40 gets in his car and drives, and whether he's going to pick up musical equipment or whether he's going to, you know, speak at a high school, it's all about, you know, his drive time. And for me, I had speakers set up in my bedroom this time in my apartment, and it was all about me coming home, being able to plug into my phone. And like, do I want to listen to myself, or do I want to listen to like some other songs that I'm into? And if I didn't want to listen to myself, then there was a problem there, you know, because I wanted to be excited about the music that we were creating. And I think I finally, it clicked with me around when we were in Los Angeles. I started realizing like, okay, I think I have a formula that works for me.
September, October time last year.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, maybe a little even later than that. Maybe, end of October, November, I think I really started like catching that.
I think it may come as a surprise to some people that the record has been recorded in a concerted body of time. I think because of the early announcement, people think that this, and also, you know, rumors of this record coming have been persisting now for well over a year.
Because, I know.
Again, August 6th, 2014. And I think it may come as a shock, the timeline, but, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, you started in earnest with 40 with the idea of working on a body of work that would become Views from the Six. Mm-hmm. In September of 2015, you kind of settled into it effectively.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we had ideas, we had, you know, it might have been something as small as like, oh, I did a verse and I like four lines from this verse. I mean, I was very, very hard on myself. I scrapped full songs just to take out one thought.
Yeah.
I wasn't patting myself on the back every time I got something done. And as an artist, you know, sometimes you can be working so hard in here that just to get something done feels nice. Then you gotta wake up and realize like, was it actually good, or did we just finally get something done?
Yeah.
And I think this time I really didn't take any pride in getting something done unless it was something. You know? Yeah, I mean, we ended up with like a 20 song album.
It's gonna be 20 tracks on there, 20 songs on there, including Hotline Bling.
As a bonus, yeah.
As a bonus.
So 19 new songs.
Yeah, one of the biggest songs of 2015. Here's your bonus, congratulations. that song is an anomaly, you know. It's just completely unavoidable for majority of last summer and beyond. It was easily one of the biggest songs of the year. It never went to number one. It never got nominated for a Grammy, I don't think. And yet it was the song that, along with a couple of others, really captured people's attention in a massive way. What's it like having a hit like that at the time?
Just kind of, you just take it for what it is. I don't know, it was unexpected. I recorded it in a hotel room in London. And like, I don't even know if he's in here, but I remember like my cameraman, Theo. I'm sorry to do this to you, but I mean, we had a great classic discussion that I'll always remember, where he was just like, yo, when you were recording it, I didn't get it. I just
You weren't feeling it? Great on the camera, though.
Yeah.
Fantastic,
phenomenal camera
flawless
work.
Visually.
But you know, that's kind of almost an emotion that I search for. I mean, I don't want you to get it right away. If you get it right away, there's no risk being taken. There's something that's not.
It's almost disingenuous.
It's not. It's just more like if you're able to like wrap your head around it and be like, okay, cool, I get it. It is what it is. Good song. That's not what like great music is. Great music takes a little work on your part. You know, it takes you almost maybe elevating your listening level and becoming, you know, a bit more of a sophisticated listener because of a song or because of an album.
Well, it draws you in as a fan too.
Yeah.
I think it's often not sort of referenced that you can become complacent as fans. We can become complacent
well,
as fans.
Well, of course, yeah.
You know, and expect things to ride a certain path and only really fall out of love with them when it's too late. And I think that, you know, that little challenge, that little push in that direction, I mean, it was an unorthodox pop hit.
Yeah.
You know, but it was a smash nonetheless, and it was helped along by the video too. And we've never spoken about this, and part of the problem with not doing interviews, Drake, is that when you finally do them, we have to cover a lot of shit.
I'm sorry.
So, you know, are we talking choreography here? I mean, is this...
I mean,
what are you next doing here? I mean, because he's shut the world down.
It was just, you know, I have to give credit to Tanisha Scott, who was on set with me at the time. And she was just like, yo, like, go up there and have fun. And like, yo, if you just be yourself and, you know, enjoy the moment. And like, I expected the reaction. I mean, I was praying for it.
Oh, the reaction was priceless, man. Because for the first 2 days, everyone was just like, is he serious? And then on the third day, just started kind of doing it.
Yeah, and that's my best quality is I'm always okay with the first 2 or 3 days. Across the board on anything, not just dancing, like anything, you know, any, whatever it is, I'm always okay. I'm always okay in the first 2 or 3 days.
But on day four?
I mean, it's just either it goes away or it takes on a life of its own. Yeah. And I'm good with it either way, you know.
So let's get some facts on Views.
Yeah.
Because, you know, fans are hungry for it. They're going to be hearing it very, very soon, any minute, really.
Right.
So let's get the facts on it. Does it start with a purpose? The track listing I'm getting to, the idea of the journey, the thought process you put into it with 40. How does the record start for you? What are you saying throughout as an aesthetic that ties you to the city? Give us the thematic feel that you've been striving for.
The album is based around the change of the seasons in our city. So it starts out, you know, in the wintertime, and starts out with a song called Keep the Family Close. And yeah, that was basically what I used to tie it all together is winter to summer and then back to winter again. So it's just to show you the two extreme moods that we have, because we're very grateful for our summers, but we also make our winters work, and they're harsh, you know, and our summers are hot, and it's really a very unique place. You start to value your days a lot more when, you know, 7 months of them are spent in icy cold, like most people wouldn't even go outside type thing. You know, it creates a different type of atmosphere, a different sound in the music, creates a different type of person even, you know. And I thought it was really important to make the album here during the winter. I didn't run away from it. I didn't like go to Miami or LA just because I can. I came here and made the album and witnessed it happen. You know, I'm witnessing now. It's like, oh yeah, okay, now the cars can come out and the, you know, people are like, there's no more puffy jackets, and it's nice. And it really, all those little things mean a lot. You know, there's nights where you can't drive and go check your people. You know, there's a lot of elements for us that are very unique to the city, and I tried to capture them within not only the actual music, but the layout of it as well.
Yeah. So thematically, there's a visual nature to it. How reflective did you go? You've been known, and some of my favorite moments, some fans' favorite moments, are your records are the ones where you dig deep and you tell an honest story about your upbringing, which people can connect to in their own way. There's a truthfulness at various moments throughout your canon, you know, that people connect to. And I wonder how deep you allowed yourself to go on this record, given it was about your home, and it already gives us a sense of that before you've even heard it. Views from the Six.
Yeah. I think I've given...
Did you leave it all in the room?
Did I leave it all in the room? Yeah, I always do, you know. I always try my best to give my most accurate time marker of where I'm at the given time. And I did everything I could, you know, without... I think I did a really great job of making each song a standalone song, though. I didn't just do this. Like, this album isn't like, oh, this is the song where he talks about his family. Oh, this is the song where he addresses where he... It's just more... It's a constant... It's like sort of a constant stream of my emotions, whether it be in love, in life, in this business, you know, LA versus Toronto, and the two lives that are split there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think I've really, my life right now isn't necessarily where it was when I made Look What You've Done, or, you know, Too Much, where it was, my life is more about me. And I think I was able to...
It sounded like you were struggling a bit with the process when you're making some of those records too. I mean, I'll think back about some of those songs, and it felt like there was a push and a pull going on.
Well, I had more direct issues to address at the time that had to do with other people. And this album, I'm very proud to say, it's just like, I feel like I just told everybody how I'm actually feeling, not what this person's going through and this person's going through that affects me. Mm. This is more like, this is where I'm at. Mm. And I was really, really, it takes a lot to get that clear. I mean, that's a tough thing to access, you know?
You've already accessed some tough things. I mean, dude, there are moments when you pull yourself up when you're writing, when you're like, this is deep, this is going very deep.
Yeah, I've had my share of moments where it's gone too deep and I've had to deal with it after. Yeah. You know, I've gotten the calls or I've gotten the, you know, had the conversations with people that I love and respect, and just, you know, sometimes people have to tell you like, yo, that was a bit much, you know.
Yeah.
But I never set out with malicious intention. I'm a very honest person. I can't write fiction, you know. I can't really do these sort of themed like story songs that have like are just like a story about someone else that I either made up or don't like. It all has to directly do it with me, or else I can't make the music. So I think everyone around me knows that, and I think everyone around me knows that I have a respect level, and I'm proud of the fact that I'm able to word it in a way that, even if it is a harsh truth, I think people, I mean, there's some harsh truth on this album, but I think that it's not, at least it's truth. I mean, people have to respect that, right? So.
How many, should we talk collaborations real quick? I mean, pop stars on it.
Uh-huh.
Jay and Kanye are on it or are not on it?
I just ended up going with my version of that song.
Right, so the second version that you threw, that we heard on Over Your Sound Radio, that has you across both of them.
Yeah.
You know, seeing the throne on a record though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's gonna generate some excitement. I mean, the Watch the Throne project is hallowed. I mean, people talk about that with a real misty eye because of those few years they toured that, and the iconography and the music that came from that project. We all love it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was talking to a friend of mine after I heard that record. And he was like, oh, it's great, but why do you think Jay's verse was so short?
Well, Jay didn't really do a verse. I mean,
exactly. I mean, I'm calling it a verse. How come you did one line?
Yeah, I just was trying to get Ye on it at first, and Ye just sent it to me like that. Like, yo, Jay kind of just did my first few lines for me, and he was just here, and that's how we, you know, flexed it. And it was cool, you know, and he was like all like, excited about, yo, just put the throne, it'll be a crazy moment. I mean, of course people want to hear Jay-Z rap, right? So hearing him do two lines might be frustrating to obviously like a certain
audience. Curiosity about it, you know, because it's like when you think about it, and also I think, you know, you make art in an environment which fans, we all, man, you know, we search for hidden meaning constantly because there's so much language in the rhymes. There's so much you can pull apart at any given time and search for meanings. Be them obvious or hidden. And I'm sure it's no mystery to you that, you know, over the course of your career, despite the fact you've collaborated with him, that there's been some talk about you and Jay. And I think that was of interest when he appeared on the record.
Mm-hmm.
People were like, oh, okay, well, what's the truth here? What's the vibe?
Yeah.
Is it a friendly competition? Are they good? Are they not good? What's the feels?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, I always set out to, I was just having conversation with Kanye. That just landed in my lap, you know? So I just dealt with it accordingly, and you know, it didn't exactly play out how I would have wanted it to, as far as like, you know, business or whatever goes. So I just figured it would be easier to go with my version. And I mean, listen, I've expressed my admiration and respect for Jay countless times. Mm. That'll never change. Mm. You know, we're just sometimes we just fall on opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to the rap world, and you know, it's no, like, again, it's always just mutual respect, but sometimes it has to be from afar due to other situations that really don't have anything to do with me and him. So.
Right on. Yeah. But that's not the big question. The big question is, how fucking big is Kanye's pool? That's the big question. And how big does a pool have to be these days in order for it to get a name check and a record?
That was really just like some friendly neighbor bars. You know, me and Kanye, I take pride in being Kanye's neighbor, you know. I take pride in our little community of Calabasas, and it was just me poking fun at, you know, living up the street from him, and you know, never any disrespect intended. It was supposed to make
it's
people laugh.
It's about poles,
yeah,
man.
I know,
come
so,
on, how deep are we gonna go?
Yeah,
here?
Exactly. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like,
sounds like he has a nice pool though.
He has a phenomenal pool. He has a phenomenal house. Don't ever get it twisted. His pool is like It's got to be like half a football field or something. But mine
means
just
yours is a football field. Like,
well, mine was just designed to like outdo Hugh Hefner's pool, and I succeeded.
Seriously, the previous owner designed that pool.
Yeah, he wanted a better pool than the Playboy Mansion. So I have a better pool than the Playboy Mansion. And I'm willing to sell it for $100 million, just like Hugh. So if anybody wants to buy it, it's on the market. I know you got the money.
Nope. You know, Kanye talked about music. I mean, one of the wonderful things, you know, I've sat in a situation not dissimilar to this with him, and I love the fact that, you know, there are no holes barred with that guy. I really genuinely appreciate his thinking. And,
yeah.
And he's a very honest and open person, as the world knows. Mm. And he's been pretty open about music too, and the way he says it. You guys have recorded stuff too. I mean, are you aware of music that he's talking about that you guys have recorded together? And
oh yeah, I mean,
do you discuss how it comes out? What does it do? I mean, will the world get to hear it? People are hungry to hear that stuff too.
Yeah, we like I said, we live up the street from each other. So, you know, on any given night, I mean, I've been in my room, like, just came from training, working out, and they've come in my room and been like, you know, Ye's in the kitchen with your mom. He says he's here to, like, work or whatever. So, or, you know, vice versa. I'll pull up at his house and just see what he's doing. He's always in there, you know, going crazy with somebody, some vibes. And, we'll just sit and collaborate. That's what music is about. We have a few things that we've worked on, and it's always just about finding a place for it. I mean, with him, you never know. He might call me tonight and be like, yo, these two songs that we did are coming out. But definitely, Ye's one of my favorite people, period, like, in the world, man. I just, like, really have I love Ye, man. He's a really, really good guy. Obviously grew up with him as a role model. Mm. I mean, I've always given him that credit that he's part of the reason that I'm even here right now. Mm. Open doors for us. And yeah, it's just amazing to be able to be his friend. I think we have a really great friendship, you know? And we have one of those friendships that you don't really get often in rap, because we can like link each other and discuss anything, you know? Whether it's, you know, you feeling a way about this, or us working on this, or, you know, just leisure talk. It is what it is. You know, we have a great relationship. So
yeah,
definitely. I hope we get some more music out ASAP.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice. We had plans, but we were supposed to do a mixtape together, an album together. So maybe we'll get that done now that we're.
You just opened that door. There's gonna be people marching down the street now. Yeah. Don't know what happens eventually.
Yeah. I hope so, man.
So, who is on the record?
Well, Rihanna's on the record, of course. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be a record without Rihanna, would it? Really?
I mean, you guys have a rich collaborative history.
We do well together as a team. Party Next Door.
Yeah.
Division.
Yeah.
That Pimp C verse on Faithful, which unfortunately trickled out, but the final version is a lot more developed. Mm-hmm. I've got, I'm trying to think.
You got WizKid, obviously.
WizKid and Kyla, of course, yeah. You know, I've got little anecdotes from people. I've got like PopCon and Beanie Man and just like little segues and stuff like that. So, it wasn't really about features though.
Yeah, I wondered about that because, it hasn't been for a minute, and even thinking back to nothing.
Oh, Future.
Future's
on.
And predominantly produced by 40, overseen at least by 40.
100%, yeah, that was the key with this one, was just, we had to like just sit across from each other and be like, yo, we're gonna do our album for the city, right?
Well, that's kind of what it is, because it's been like, I mean, if you think about Thank Me Later and, you know, Take Care, and these are the records that like you say, there's layers to them that it seems that you and 40, you drive each other to.
Yeah, I can't achieve that with anyone else, really. I mean, and, you know, obviously the third piece of the puzzle is Oliver, you know, always pushing us to just do better.
Do better.
Seriously, though, I mean.
No doubt, man. You know, he pushes all of us to do better. Yeah. I mean, Jesus, man.
Yeah.
With the aesthetic of the show.
Yeah, so.
All right, so we have to rewind just a little bit because fans will want to know. To tell us about the recording experience with Rihanna on this record. What's the song called? What's it about? Give us an overview about that song so we can refer to it when people listen to the record.
Well, the song's called Too Good To You. And it was kind of, it came to fruition after we did work. I was able to be like, I think I have one that would follow this up really nicely. And she just, I mean, she got in the studio and just bodied it. It was like flawless victory. When she sent it back, I was like, oh man, it's like every nuance, every cadence, everything was perfect. And yeah, it's just another piece to add to our catalog, which I'm very proud of. You know, I think we do great music together. It's tough to do like guy girl collabs without them being like,
especially for you two, because as soon as you guys sit in the room together, man, everybody starts talking. Yeah, that's so. The thing. Like, I think that the chemistry and the collaboration and the history that you guys.
Well, I think that's what makes the records better, though, because there's something genuine there. We're not like forcing some story on people. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of the music that we make and the energy that we bring is genuine. I mean, we have a lot of genuine energy between us, so.
Yeah.
We have a genuine energy.
No, nah, for sure. For sure. So let's talk about the city of, is Skepta on the record?
No, Skepta was really, really, I mean, I only caught up with him a few times and he was obviously immersed in,
yeah, Konnichiwa, of course, yeah.
Which is coming out May 6th, and I'm really excited for him. And I think me and Skepta have to, like, I mean, we obviously that one WizKid song was amazing, and I think we just gotta kind of link up and just be like, what is it? What is it Drake and Skepta song sound like?
Yeah.
I think it would only take like one or two nights to figure it out. But we I mean, every time I see him, he's fully focused on his album, and then the one time that he was able to come out here, I was unfortunately locked away in this room working just as intensely on mine. So I'm excited to hear his project. Like that Man song that he dropped
ridiculous.
Is crazy, right?
It's not for crazy.
Yeah.
One of the cool things about, you know, the relationship that you struck up with Boy Better Know and with OVO is that both of you represent your cities in a very proud way.
Yeah.
You know, and Skepta and Boy Better Know are out there and they're just like, it's London time.
Love it though.
You know? Yeah.
You gotta love that, man.
Exactly. And you know, you're out there on an OVO level, you know, as you have been for a while, you know, talking up Toronto with good reason. You know, when I think about Toronto, and I think one of the things that makes it unique is the fact that as far as the legacy of hip-hop culture up to this point, there's an outside nature to it.
Oh, yeah.
And I wonder where that comes from, where that confidence comes from amongst you and your friends and your peers to be like, no, well, we can make our mark on this culture. And the way Atlanta did, mm-hmm. and the way that, you know, other cities like, you know, New Orleans did.
Right.
A lot of other great cities have done so. When did you feel a sway moving towards Toronto?
I think it's just about, it's not even necessarily a sway moving towards Toronto. It's just about realizing that the details and the little things about your upbringing or your culture are actually extremely appealing to the world as long as you present them with confidence. And I think the parallel that you just drew with Skepta and with, I mean, music coming out of London, period,
yeah.
is just the fact that they're finding a way to blur the lines where it's not like, oh, that's some music from London and I noticed the accent right away. Like, these guys are finding beats and hooks and pockets that you don't even notice. It's the same way how surreal I feel when I hear people in America talking about, like, tings or you know, taking bat ups or this, that. Like, I hear people using our slang that we use on Instagram or wherever, and I see people incorporating it into their like day-to-day talks, and it just like it's always been cool. It's just sometimes you just gotta wake up and realize like, man, there's really nothing cooler than this. I don't wanna show up here with like the super fake American accent and be like, you know, a lot that was at one point in our city was the thing, was like you had to pretend like you were from New York or you had to pretend like you were from somewhere in the States to kind of be like respected and cool. Not musically, I just think like on a, like just a level when you're speaking to someone, I feel like that was the that was the thing. And now it's kind of like, if you don't claim Toronto, it's like, what are you on? You're a waste,
right.
You know?
Like, you're a waste. Right. You got the wind at your back. But I think even back to 2010, I know the Pride was in place, but you know, you're coming off the back of a lot of hype. I mean, you were definitely the new rapper of the moment, no question. You look at the credits on that album, on Thank Me Later, and you look at those, and it's like, you know, there's a lot more sort of producers from the United States of America. There's a lot more guest appearances from people. It felt like more of a pop statement, and it's almost like you've gone to that place, and then you've come back over the course of the subsequent records.
I think the Thank Me Later was just a point in my life where I felt like I needed to, like, prove to everybody. Like, okay, yo, people accept me. Look, I could do songs with this person, and I can do, you know.
Did you ever truly feel accepted in some respects? And I don't mean that from their point of view, not trying to lay that on them, but have you always been a little bit suspicious about, are they judging me because I'm from Toronto and I'm not from that circle necessarily?
No, I don't know if people judge me based off that. I've always just felt like an outsider naturally, you know? And I think that just has to do with, like, the better you do at music, the more you're gonna feel like an outsider. It doesn't matter. I could be from Australia, you know? I could be from anywhere. It's just when you start doing well, people that make you feel like an outsider. I mean, you could be an insider and they'll make you feel like an outsider.
Yeah, but
something
changed from a fan's point of view after Around Nothing was the same. I could see you laying the seed down on that record where it was like, all right, I'm starting to reflect on this in a different way.
Yeah, it was just more spending more time at home. You know, I wasn't all over the place. I wasn't on the road. I remembered, like, you know, what it is that I, like, set out to do, you know, was so far gone. And, like, I started just realizing, like, the incredible culture that we have here, and I wanted to shovel it, like, onto everyone else and be like, yo, look at this, like, this is something, you know. And I think this album is probably the most blatant display of me being proud of where I'm from and just completely having evolved in a way where, you're right, you know, it's like I went to Thank Me Later and I, you know, it was like, it was Young Money, it was, and everything just looked bigger. I mean, all these
lights,
cities,
man,
looked bigger, and the lights looked brighter.
Well, I remember seeing footage of you rolling through a verse off a Blackberry or something while you're on Flex's show, and I'm just like, man, you were the center of the universe right now.
I mean, yeah, I was a kid, you know, I was just trying to, like, I didn't even realize the video footage was probably gonna drop. I was just trying to get my little bars off, and you know, I was on Funk Flex, like, I was just trying to not flop, you know, and shit. Like,
just don't be a flunky.
Yeah, but it's like, it is what it is. I'm proud of that too. You know, people can say what they want. Like, that's part of, yeah, exactly. I grew up in this shit, man. I made, like, if that's my mistakes, then let that be my mistakes. I'm proud of that.
That verse is hardly a mistake. but I remember, like, you know, After Nothing was the same, and then we got If You're Reading This.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, man, it was like this really healthy, sharp-tongued belligerence set in. And I was like, oh, he's claiming it. Mm-hmm. Like, he's made these great albums, he's had this success, but as a rapper, he's going for it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no denying it. On that record, you were going hard on the mic.
Yeah, like, I just, it's a shame if you don't notice the shift in energy around you. I mean, you can't be oblivious to what's going on around you. And I just like kind of woke up one day like, yo, this is my time. This is my, like, this is my thing. I run this, you know, like, nobody can really talk to me. I'm good at what I do. And, you know, I'm ready for anything really, you know, and whatever it is, whether it's a one dance or whether it's Know Yourself or whether it's energy or whether it's whatever, I'm ready. I'll shell out anybody, you know? There was just a point where I was just like, yo, I don't give a fuck. I'm ready to take on anything. And that was, you know, I think
that was that moment.
Yeah, that was just that moment. I was proud of all we had accomplished. And yeah, I just made that switch. Like, yo, it's my time for the next however long, till I decide it's not, you know? Mm-hmm. Till I decide to stop coming in here and working this hard, because, you know, I just feel like that's where we're at. And it's not even like, it's more, I say that more to, like, encourage, like, even when we're talking about the playoffs or talk, it's like, yo, sometimes you have to realize, like, yo, this is it. It's happening now, you know? And this moment decides the longevity of this whole thing. So, you know, some mornings you gotta wake up and be like, yo, this is my thing, not anyone else's. No one can talk to me.
You've obviously got deep friendships that go back many, many years that are important to you, and the city is a breeding ground of that, and those are trusted friendships. But jealousy has played a role thematically throughout your career.
Damn.
you know? Yeah. It has. And I mean, you know, you've referenced it many times on record, and you know, turning 30 later this year, having the chance to reflect on the last 10, 12 years of your journey up to this point, you know, have you seen success change the framework of what a friend can mean to you? Have you seen that cliche of...
Like not my real friends in my real life. And that's like kind of like, you have to be able to separate your real life and this. I'm very proud of my real life and the character judgment that I've used throughout the years that I've spent on this earth. Nobody really that I've ever considered a true friend has switched up. But these like, you know, these fly by night people that you just come across, I mean, they're all not to be trusted. They're all, I don't trust none of them. You know, it's like, I'm not naive. I'm not out here being like, yo, it's not buddy-buddy, man. This is war, man. You know, just like anything else, it's like sports, just like whatever it is. If you're in accounting, I treat this shit, we're playing for keeps, bro. Mm. You know, I'm not here to like, it's not a joke thing to me, you know? So, I mean, yeah, I've seen people I would never expect. People I've had the utmost respect for do foul shit, you know? Try and, if they could have their way, I'd be on the street corner with me and all these guys in this room and my family, and we'd never to be heard from again, you know, if they had their way. But like I said, I'm ready for whatever.
You know, one of the things that's come out of Toronto, which was, there's a kind of, For people who knew when you were coming up together, there's a romance to the EXO OVO beginnings. And he's one of the people who's come out of Toronto and gone on and achieved great things on his own terms, and as have you. Mm. And, you know, we haven't seen you guys on a stage or in a common place for a very long time. I mean, there was a moment at WWDC when you were within each other's range. Mm. And I wondered whether or not you've had a chance to kind of, now that you both have qualified yourselves to yourselves, right? You know, mm-hmm. you know who you are. It's pretty clear he knows who he is now as an artist. You've been able to toast each other's success and been able to kind of put yourselves in a good place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, that's my guy. We're from the same city. You know, we grew up with the same goal, trying to do this. You know, a lot of the time we spent trying to do it together, you know, like... Mm. There's memories I'll never forget, you know, times that were like, we spent real time, not like, you know, like other artists' time, like real time, you know, we put in real work together. So I'm proud of his success. We've both had our moments where we've maybe felt a way and, you know, taken it maybe a little left. Mm-hmm. But I can sit here in front of you and just say I have nothing but love for mm. everybody over there. Mm. I loved watching him last year. It made me super happy.
What a year.
Well, and well deserved, man. You know, worked hard, made a great body of work, and you know, as a lesson to any kid that wants to, that's where it gets you. You make great music, and you know, figure out how to roll it out the right way and do your thing, that's where it gets you. And more power to him, man. I've never got the chance to tell him, but I send him all my blessings, man. Mm. You know, and I could never really want any ill for him. Based off our, like I said, the work we put in and where he's from, I can't ever feel different.
So where's Toronto at right now creatively, man? Because in summer 16, you know, all these kids in the new Toronto want to be like me a little. And, you know, it's interesting to me because at the moment right now, you know, you've got Views from the Six, which is an important love letter, really. It's a reflective moment for your city where you're from and capturing those seasons and making that happen. You know, and yet, you know, with success comes, you know, little hairline fractures here and there as well. And I wonder what your reflection is on the city creatively, given that you were so instrumental, along with The Weeknd and various others, towards establishing it as a creative hotbed.
Yeah, I encourage anybody, wherever they're from, but obviously we're talking directly about where I'm from. Mm. So I encourage anybody to go out there and do the most damage that you possibly can. Do your thing. Get all the fruits. Get everything, you know, become the biggest artist you can possibly be. Just don't get up there finally and start talking down on me, you know? Especially when we have like no interaction or no, like just don't get your first big shot to speak out and you think it's like the right thing to do is to start like trying to, you know, come for the Don, you know? It's like, it's not gonna work. Mm. And I don't go for that. And that's it. That's as simple as it's not like
it's
on some
thing.
It's not, it's just more like common sense. I don't, like, why, what's the point of that, you know? Mm. If any time prior to you ask me about anybody here, I'm bigging them up. It's our city, man. You know, why would you get up on a public platform and start being like, I'm not really with, nah, man, that's it. And then what? Just to what? To come back and start backpedaling and begging it out? Like, what's the point, you know? It's like, I wanna be good and positive with everyone in the city, but I obviously expect the same thing, you know? Yeah. And that's it. I just like I said, I love seeing people shine. I hate when they finally get the platform and they think the answer is like, okay, well, because we've never had any dealings, the answer is to like, how I'm gonna get my attention is to attack. It's like, that's not gonna work, man. Mm. The music speaks, man. It's such a transparent formula. Mm. The music speaks and it will take you as far as you wanna go, you know? But you're never gonna get that. You're never gonna reach that horizon based off like some slick chatter and shit like that. That's not really like that's not what's gonna make people be like, oh, that's the next guy right there. No, just come and try and kill me off. Make a mixtape and try and dun my whole wave. That's what I want any kid in this city to do, you know? So I can figure out what you missed and I kill you off right after.
All right, one more in the chamber for the fans.
Okay.
You know, you came up at a time with Nicki Minaj and Lil Wayne, instrumental in helping you establish yourself, giving you that support.
Right.
Been tough times for that camp in public between Cash Money and Young Money.
Mm-hmm.
You seem to have navigated your way into a place of calm through that. You don't seem to be swept into any of that stuff that seems to be going on between Baby and Lil Wayne. But in any respect, you know, when you think about the relationships you've formed over that time, what they've meant to you over that time, you know, how has it been the last 12 months watching it kind of get rough?
Man, you know, I'm a person that's very grateful for all the names that you mentioned, you know, specifically Birdman and Wayne. It's tough. I'll be honest with you, it's tough to watch. And I have a mutual respect for both guys, and I pray every day that that it gets worked out and that we, you know, we'll all find an amicable place again one day.
Do you speak to Nicki about it as well?
I don't really talk to Nicki, you know, and again, another person that I have a lot of love for, man. Mm. You know, a lot of love and a lot of respect, not only for our past and how much work and time we put in, but even just the way she dealt with the situation at hand, you know, I understand what love is and I understand a personal situation. And, you know, she dealt with me how I would expect her to, which was with class. Mm-hmm. And I could only ever do the same, you know? There was points in time where I was sitting there waiting to see like, okay, is this gonna go? I don't know, you know, like how deep is your love, you know? Like you gotta ask yourself, but, yeah, I always have respect and love for Nicki, and unfortunately we haven't spoke, but I mean it is what it is. Even if we don't speak, she knows what it is. It's always love, and with Birdman and Wayne, you know, that's business, man, and it's not like, you know, it's cool to like sit back and laugh at and shit when people are doing like memes and all that stuff. I mean, obviously that's our new form of entertainment, but at the end of the day, you know, it is a situation that I pray gets resolved because. Yeah. I mean,
it's
people's lives and it's a legacy. I don't want to see that. Yeah. Like, it was amazing to see Kobe go out and score 60 points. I want to see them go out and score 60 points together.
Yeah, I mean,
too,
how things end is, it's as if not more important than how things start.
So yeah, that.
You know, you spoke on You in the Six. There's a great line which really jumped out at me, which is, you know, we're talking about your mum and talking about, you know, she gets Google alerts and and it makes me think about, like, you know, what is it to be a parent in an environment when your son or your daughter is doing what they love,
yeah,
and yet you couldn't be more visible and in many respects she probably is finding out this certain bits of information vicariously, or stumbling across things, tripping over things, and what that balance is like being a son and having a normal relationship with your mom in very abnormal circumstances.
It just takes a lot of reassurance. You just gotta reassure that you're good, you know.
I bet.
The other day she hit me like, "Oh, I thought you and the game were friends. And he says he's beefing with you because he's building a new pool." I was like, "Mom."
Your mom's reaching out over this.
Yeah, you know, she's always like in, she's always down with the we call it the pasta. That's what we call it.
The what?
The pasta, you know, that's the talk, you know. So my mom's always, she gets all the pasta straight to her phone. But, you know, she'll just ask me about it, and I'm always very reassuring. I mean, I just try my best to maneuver with a pure, I'm proud of the fact I have a pure heart, you know. I don't have any, nothing to hide, you know, about any of those situations you asked me about. Nothing. I have nothing. I'm like, I feel great, and that's why I'm willing to sit here and even talk to you, you know, and not gonna ask you what questions are you about to ask me, because I can't. It's like, nah, we could talk about anything.
No, you've been amazing. What's the best or the most memorable piece of advice that your mom, and or in fact your dad as well, has given you that really springs to mind that you carry with you and apply?
My mom's thing is a 72-hour rule. I mean, my mom, it happened years and years and years ago when, you know, the first time I ever had like a, it was like just when the culture, the internet, like blog gossip culture was happening, and they had like edited some picture of me and my cousin or something, and I was like, oh, this is it. Like, oh man, everyone's gonna believe this. Look at the edit. It's like crazy, like some crazy, I forget what it even was, but my mom said to me, she said, you know what? She said, you'll go to sleep tonight, you'll wake up and it'll still bother you, then you'll go to sleep again and you'll wake up and it'll bother you a little less. And then on the third day you'll wake up and someone else will have done something stupid enough that everyone will forget.
It's totally true. It's the 2 or 3 days again.
Well, that's the 72-hour rule, right? And I always said, so I've learned to control my emotions for those first 2 or 3 days, and that's why I don't run to social media and start, you know, yapping about how my anger or my frustration, I let it sit.
Yeah.
And it always goes away, man. That's the most valuable piece of information for my mom. And man, the most valuable piece of information for my dad is probably, I don't know, don't mix Virginia Black and vodka water together.
Right.
No, I don't know. My dad is just
Your dad is a subject of massive fascination.
He's a legend, man.
Right?
He's a legend, you know? Sometimes I wonder who the superstar is.
Well, what's your relationship like at 29 with your father, given that just from the basic amount of information we can cobble together from your background, it sounds like it's been pretty rough, and there's been redeeming moments throughout your life. It's a redeemed relationship in many respects, it feels like to me, from an observational point of view.
Yeah, I think my father is a huge inspiration for me. I mean, even my mother will tell you, I would never be doing what I'm doing and probably in the fashion that I'm doing it without my mother's teaching of the English language and words, and my dad's natural gift for like melody and music. And so my dad is a huge inspiration to me, from like that to just the way he like dresses and the way he like posts with women on Instagram prior to his, I think he has a girlfriend now, but you know, before that, I mean, I was feeling like I was living some like lackluster life because my dad goes so hard. But
living in the shadow of your pops.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, he's the real star. And I've grown to just have an appreciation for the man that he is, you know? I mean, my friends have always seen it, right? And that's always the case. Like, you'll have this really cool dad and everybody else thinks it's like super cool, but you find that
you fucking crazy when you're a kid. Seriously,
but yeah, you know,
at times.
Yeah, of course. And I've just grown to love him for who he is, man. And he is one of the most entertaining human beings. I mean, if this interview lasts whatever it is, hour and a half, 2 hours, I'm sure you could sit for like 6 with him and hear some stories that are unbelievable. But yeah, he's a great guy. I'm very blessed to have a perfect balance between my parents. You know, my mother's taught me a lot about just being able to deal with all the stuff the way I do and the poise that I can possess in you know, certain situations where people would break down. And you know, my mother's the reason why I don't really like ever do drugs. I've never, like, I've, you know, I mean, of course, like, you know, I'll drink and I'll, you know, smoke or whatever, but I don't, I've never, that's never been my thing. I've always just kind of kept it, like, pure, you know, for my mom's sake. And then, you know, and my dad is just where I get the
swag.
Well, I mean, yeah, whatever you want to call it, you know, what we were just talking about, you know, just, I mean, just, I'm not, like, you know, at the same time, my mother's.
Don't test.
Yeah, you know, just that's my dad to the core, you know, it's just don't play.
Yeah. You know, you're in a position now where Views from the Six is coming out any second. Mm-hmm. You're obviously exceptionally proud of that record.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of touring to be done around it, well, as much as you can do, given how busy you are.
No, I'm going. I'm going.
You're going hard?
I'm going on the real run, man.
You're going hard?
Yeah, I'm going
to World tour? Yeah, one
world
laminate?
Tour. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Drake, well, world tour.
I'll make sure you get one.
Thank you, man.
Got to come through.
You got to collect just the one.
Yeah, exactly.
You have multiple laminates, or a different one for every night, it's not a world tour.
No. It's a world tour,
it's
yeah.
It's domestic.
You got to get the metal ones, man.
They're metal? Like,
well, yeah, because, you know, people will go duplicate the laminate, yeah, so you got to try and get the new.
The new-new.
Yeah, the new-new, man. We might do the iPhone laminates this time. Ooh. I don't know.
iPhones. I'm not getting those for free. Yeah. Hey, oh, there he is. Watch out. Damn. So touring to be done, starting with Summer 16. That's exciting.
Yeah.
You know, it's a wide world out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's easy when you're busy and you're prolific and you're creative to forget that the world that we live in right now is tough.
Mm-hmm.
And what does the world look like to you at your age? At this point in your life, outside of your own world, what does the world look like to you and your place in it?
I mean, I obviously spend a lot of time in my own world, but when I do take a look at the broader scope of things, it's often with 40, you know, whether it be you know, whether it's issues in the world that obviously, you know, I mean, I have massive amount of prayers for everybody's well-being, and I think I even though I don't necessarily directly, literally address things in my music, I've always tried to make music that transcends, you know, gender, nationality, to try and unify people, you know, because that's really what it's about where we're from. I mean, we're from this sort of like mosaic of people that all get along. I've always kind of been a part of that, being from Toronto, so.
Can you soak it up in different ways without necessarily reflecting it personally? And do you think that Views from the Six, in some way, shape, or form, is an album for its time?
Yeah, I think that it's. I hope that it brings joy to people's lives. Mm-hmm. I hope that it opens people's minds to new things. I hope that it. You know, I've always had this dream of like a new set of music that just creates this like rhythm and, you know, with what, like what One Dance was, and just bringing joy to people is pretty much my goal with this album. And then as far as the world and how it looks, I don't take too much time. My world, I mean, my personal relationships and where I'm going to end up. I honestly, this is the first day that I've even had to think about it.
You're getting old, though, man. You're getting old. You're 30 this year.
I know, but I still really enjoy.
I'm being facetious, man. You're a fucking child to me.
I still really enjoy being in this room. I still enjoy my time on the road with my friends. I don't look at like people in other situations with envy. You know, I'm pretty happy where I'm at right now. I think I have a lot more work to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whatever way I can contribute to just, like I said, bringing some joy to people's lives in this world, I pray that I can do that as many times as I can over and over through this platform that we have. And, that's what we got, man. You know, that's what we have to offer right there. So.
Yeah, people are expecting you to go back to the screen. You're going to go back? You going to do anything on camera?
Yeah, I got something nice coming up in May. You know?
Really?
Yeah, I got something nice coming up in May, and then I'd love to go back to acting. I feel like I spent a lot of my life honing that craft, and then we're just kind of like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
So I'd like to go back to it. I mean, it's you know,
big screen as well as like you'd be comfortable going into movies.
Oh yeah, that's the goal.
That's
definitely
the goal.
Yeah, movies is it's all about the right decisions, and you know,
picking the right first project for you and second
crucial.
Project. Crucial, right? Third I mean, that was like one of the most important things Jamie Foxx ever told me. Was just like, before you pick it, come and tell me, because don't, if you pick the wrong one, then you're forever labeled as this huh. this type of, so I've, you know, that's probably why I've yet to be decisive on it. But I think this album, I put enough work in on this album where I'll be able to do a world tour. And then just, you know, I'm building a home right now in Toronto. I'm excited for that to be done. I think that'll change my life a bit. You talk
all
about
those
sort of
kids walking
up.
Down and going, let me take you to Drake's house.
Yeah, right? Yeah, house. Exactly, exactly.
We'll see if he's home.
I hope so. I hope I could like land somebody, you know, like a... Whatever they get out of it, whatever I used to get out of it.
You don't want to wish that upon yourself. 50 kids outside, I'm thinking like it's like a drive-in, or yeah, sitting out right. there looking at your house eating popcorn like this.
I think that thing is gonna just change my life a lot. Having a home in Toronto, I've yet to accomplish that, and this is
wow. That'll be the first time you really feel like you've actually laid down roots here and that, yeah. on that level.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, I've always had like a little condo apartment or something like that, but this will be like this home is my life's work really. So
wow.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that, and man, just
that'll give you a chance to dive into some projects that require a little bit more right? stability, right? Because I mean, this is
yeah.
the thing.
And then figuring out what's next in music. I mean, I don't plan on like taking some huge long break. You know, we're working like we got a lot of. I mean, I'm obviously kind of out there that I'm working on Top Boy and mm-hmm. doing other, have my, you know, working on these little things, trying to just...
Yeah, stay integrated in all the most exciting things you possibly can.
Well said, I should have.
Well, I mean, dude, I mean, you know, you've got 2,000 square feet on La Brea, you're doing something right.
Yeah, it's right? true, it's true.
You know, fashion's not, I mean, that's no chumps game, that shit is hard and expensive.
Yeah, it is, and you know, thank you to everyone that's supported us. And I mean, Oliver and Nikki and everybody at OVO Clothing that do an incredible job of mm-hmm. just keeping us, you know, keeping the people fed with new things to rep with. I mean, it's been great. I've always talked to Oliver about like, I don't want to wear anything else. I just want to wear our stuff. So it's amazing to be able to have it.
Yeah, dude, that's the dream. I mean, I think yeah. if you can build something that other people want to wear on their back, but you feel confident and comfortable rocking it in a public yeah. environment too, then sweet.
Exactly.
Sussed it. Well, listen, good luck tomorrow night.
Thank you.
At Point of Broadcast.
Thank you.
Game 6.
Yeah.
I'm not yeah. talking about your album.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, forget views. This is more about... Raptors closing out. No, thank you, man. It was an honor. And
no, it was a total pleasure, man. I've been looking forward to it. I mean, I think that I know that there's a lot of ground to cover for fans and for yourself. You haven't done one of these for a long time. And yeah. I hope you enjoyed it. And
I did. I did, actually.
Got a little deep in the middle there for a minute.
No, it's all good. You definitely you gave me peace of mind about interviews again, so thank you. I enjoy it.
No, it's a pleasure, man.
I'm not going to do any more, but this one was fun.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad you could end it on a high note.
My God, thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
He's the world. Thank you.